Second Timothy, chapter number 2. Communion table. Second Timothy, chapter number 2. Verses 15. Be diligent to present yourself approved. Now we said not to God, but by God, right? Or of God. Be diligent to present yourself approved of God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the words of truth. So we've been looking at a lot of things. Hallelujah. Along this line, I would say the disciple of Christ must be able to explain the scriptures, right? With carefulness. Was able to explain the scriptures, knowing that he's a laborer. So he will be careful with how he uses words from the scriptures. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So why are we taking up this study? Why are we having a study like this? Let me show us something. Go to Acts of Apostles chapter 10. Acts of Apostles, chapter 10. Look at verse 9. The next day, as they went on their journey and drew near the city, Peter went up on the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. Then he became very hungry and wanted to eat. But while they made ready, he fell into a trance. Remember? He went up to pray and he was hungry. So Luke beautifully wrote it there. Now it was when he went that he was hungry and he slept. Hallelujah. And he saw heaven opened and like a great sheet bound at the four corners descending to him and let down to the earth. And it were all kind of four-footed animals of the earth, wild beasts, creeping things, and birds of the air. And a voice came to him, Rise, Peter, kill and eat. But Peter said, Not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything common or unclean. And a voice spoke to him again a second time, What God has cleansed, you must not call common. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And then, if we read on, Peter went to the house of Cornelius. The Lord sent him to the house of Cornelius. That was from verse 17. He received the message to go to Cornelius' house. Hallelujah. Now listen to this. In chapter 11, and we knew what happened in Cornelius' house. In verse 44, while Peter was still speaking the word, the Holy Ghost fell upon those who heard the word. And those of the circumcision who believed were astonished as many as came with Peter, because the gift of the Holy Ghost had been poured out on the Gentiles also. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now look at chapter 11. Now the apostles and brethren who were in Judea heard that the Gentiles had received the word of God. Okay, I should learn to quiet when somebody is teaching. That the Gentiles had received the word of God. And when Peter came up to Jerusalem, those of the circumcision contended with him, meaning the Jews, saying, You went into the uncircumcised men and ate with them. Mark that word ate. We'll find it useful as we study. And ate them. Did Peter eat with them? Nay. No, he did not. But that word will come alive as we study. Hallelujah. But Peter explained it to them in order from the beginning, saying, I was in the city of Joppa praying. And in a trance I saw a vision, an object descending like a great sheet. Came down from heaven, four corners, and it came to me. And I observed it intently, and considered I saw four-footed animals on the earth, wild beasts, creeping things, and birds of the air. And I heard a voice saying to me, Rise, Peter, kill and eat. But I said, no, not so, Lord, for nothing common or unclean has any time entered my mouth. But the voice answered and said to me from heaven, what God has cleansed, you must not call common. Now this was done 3 times, and all were drawn up against into heaven. At that very moment, 3 men stood before the house where I was having been sent to me from Caesarea, and the Spirit told me to go with them, doubting nothing. More so, these 6 brethren accompanied me and entered the man's house. And he told us how he had seen angels standing in his house and said to him, send men to Joppa and call for Simeon, whose surname is Peter, who will tell you the words by which you and all your household be saved. And as I began to speak, the Holy Ghost fell upon them, as upon us at the beginning. And I remember the word of the Lord, John indeed baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit. For therefore God gave them the same gift as he had given us when we believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. Who was I that I could withstand God? When they heard this thing, they became silent and glorified God, saying, this God has also glorified the Gentiles. Has also granted the Gentiles repentance to life. Hallelujah. Here is something that happened, and Peter had to go minister to someone from the Gentile nation. Now an issue came up, and Peter cannot defend it from the scriptures. They summoned him. Did you see Peter quoting the scripture? He was just explaining the dream he saw. Did you get that? And the only thing he could remember was what John said from the words of Jesus. Hallelujah. John indeed baptized with water, but when the Holy Ghost shall come, baptize with you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. The words of Jesus was what he quoted in Acts of Apostles chapter 1. So Peter will stand in the stead of several people who just know some biblical truths, but they cannot explain it from the scriptures. Say, this is your church, people don't take communion. People don't do Holy Communion. People don't take Holy Communion. We used to do it before, all of a sudden our pastor just stopped and said it's a symbol. How is this symbol? You can't even explain. Some people, you say, in my church we don't give tithe, like in Wim, we don't give tithe. But you can't even explain. If they ask you to explain, you start explaining like that rascal. We will not call his name.
You understand?
Hallelujah. Whether mommy freeze or daddy freezer, just start explaining like him. It's because you only know it by cliches. So that's the reason why we teach. We go to the root word, we go to the Hebrew, the Greek, not Latin now. Hallelujah. The Hebrew, the Greek, we take it to law of first mention, law of other mention, law of emphatic mention, but we are making you see it from the scripture so that you'll be able to explain and not be like Peter here. He can't even explain what happened. Do you get that? And many believers are like that. So explain water baptism. He says, no, water baptism. Water baptism. John 3 verse 5. John 3 3. Except you're born of water and of the Spirit, you cannot enter into the kingdom of God. So therefore, he uses the word and. That word and is the word kai. Kai. So the Spirit, what he's trying to say is that the man be born of water. That is the Holy Ghost. So what Jesus is talking about is the Spirit baptism. No water baptism? Fine. I'm not saying that is wrong, but that is all you know. This is that. But we've had that study on water baptism, right? We looked at baptismos, everything. We looked at it all. Hallelujah. Did you see that? We did that study. Why are we doing studies like this? So that you'll be able to teach others also. And that's why we usually say, transcribe the message. Listen to it and transcribe. Why are we saying so? So that you will become a master. You will know it. This is that's not, you know, it goes beyond me just teaching you. You need to learn the doctrine. You need to know the doctrine. Any day, anytime, be able to teach it. Hallelujah. So we go through this pain. We take the pain to teach and explain these things. Glory to God. When they began to speak in tongues and people gathered, Where did Peter explain from? He only knew prophecy or speaking in tongues according to Joel. Only Joel. Hallelujah. From there you flow to Jesus, right?
I mean, you flow to the resurrection, good.
But you only knew prophecy according to Joel. You can only explain that according to Joel. It's just like, what's the name of this guy? Apollos. Apollos knew the way of the Lord only from who? John's baptism. John's baptism does not mean by water baptism. No, by John's. Remember when we taught on baptism, we said John's baptism is a message. By from John's message. So you need to listen to those messages again. Because even Paul baptized some people. Right?
Yes.
Paul baptized Peter did. In the book of Acts, they did. But we now saw that all those things are what symbols. Hallelujah. Are you following me? Or they ask you, in your church, do people believe in anointing oil? Is there? That pastor doesn't know it's anointing oil. He doesn't know, we don't even use, all of a sudden, our pastor started saying the believers are not called the anointed ones. Can you say the believers are not anointed? Explain from scripture, you cannot. But we have that study. Hallelujah. That study on anointing. Do you get that? It's Jesus that is called the anointed one. It is an office for he. So you say the anointed man of God. This is your life. Hallelujah. Did you get that? You get so they are systematic study. And we don't just jump to conclusions. Hallelujah. In all these studies, you see a progressive line. So that's why you need to get to them. You need to study it. Study with your Bible. See the way it flows. Are you hearing me? Who don't studies like that? Hallelujah. Or is it the study on eternity? See, 82 years, the word eternity means forever. But we did that study, I saw that word, and that word, aeonians, or eternity, mostly, sometimes it's not used for what is forever. Right? What happens when a man dies unbelieving? He perishes. We explain that, right? That there's no place called. All those funny things where fire will be burning, your brain will burn and come back. All those funny stories. Hallelujah. We'll talk about the word perishes. Do you understand me? We'll talk about the word perish. What does it mean to perish? So these are studies we have done. And these studies is so that you will be able to explain the scriptures. Hallelujah. That you don't be like Peter here. But when he gets to Acts 15, you saw that Peter has upgraded. He could now defend with scriptures. Hallelujah. He started defending with scriptures. Hallelujah. Some people argue that because he has met Paul. Hallelujah. Glory to God. But you see that he grew. Hallelujah. Over time, to be able to explain. He will not now. Here he was explaining based on his experience. But now he cannot explain with scriptures. Do you get that? Can I explain with scriptures? So very important. That's why we teach. So that you will know and teach all that. And walk in the light of it. Walk in the light of it. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So we are not teaching you for you to now become a good argumentator. No! Did you know what this baptism says? Did you know the Greek word for baptism is called baptismos? Not being able to argue. Calm down. This is why you can be able to teach us. Hallelujah. Never get to a point where you argue scripture with anybody. Are you hearing me? Never. Don't. It's not, it's not a sign of maturity. Don't. No matter how he's doing you to talk, keep quiet. When you know it is in that realm of argument, don't. Hallelujah. In scripture, you can only have one person teach, the other person hear, the other person listen. The scripture is not up for argument. It's not up for argument. So it's either I'm teaching you and listening, or you are teaching and listening. Hallelujah. And when I don't agree with you, I keep quiet and leave. Never be found arguing.
Do you understand me? So, and I remember in that teaching of anointing, we explained, there are some scriptures we explained, especially from 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Hallelujah.
And we said there was a syntax error, and we have to look at it again, right? And when also when he says, when John, read John now, yeah, John says, you don't need anyone to teach you, say, for you have the anointing that is from God, and you know what, we explain those scriptures, right?
So get that message, and listen to that message. Very important. We have short messages, and they are more. Eternity. So get to those messages. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So we are explaining communion from the scriptures. I will say it.
That the Passover symbols was given to them because of their rejection of who?
Of the message concerning Christ. Hallelujah. Because of their rejection of the message concerning Christ. So very important. So let's go to 1 Corinthians, the communion table. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. So, you understand where we've gotten to this point, right? Right? Did you get it? All the symbols and why the symbols are there, right? So let's go a bit and let's see for how Paul will explain it in 1 Corinthians 11. You need to follow me fast. 1 Corinthians 11, 26. It says, for as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he comes. Remember we said when Jesus used that word, do this in remembrance of me, we said he's not saying they should continue doing it, right? Right? But rather to cast their mind on the fact that he has fulfilled it. But look at what Paul said. He said, as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye show the Lord's death till he come. That word show is the Greek word katangelo. Katangelo. It's used 7 times in Paul's writing. First of all, you find it in Romans 1:8. Romans 1:8. First, I thank God through Jesus Christ for you, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. Your faith is spoken of. That's the word spoken of throughout the whole world. Spoken of. You find it also in 1 Corinthians 2. That's in that book. 1 Corinthians 2 verse 1. And I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Excellency of speech of declaring to you the wisdom of the Lord. That's the word declaring there. In chapter 9 verse 14. Even so, the Lord has commanded that those who preach, that's the word preach, the gospel should live from the gospel. That's the word preach there. Kantagelu. There you'll find it in 11 verse 26, what we just read. Philippians 1:16. Used by Paul in Philippians 1:16. It says, the former preach Christ from selfish ambition, not sincerely, supposing to add afflictions to my chain. The former preach Christ, that's the word preach. 18, we find it the same way. Hallelujah. Colossians 1:28. So the word show or show in 1 Corinthians 11:26 will imply preaching. Will imply preaching. So what Paul is discussing here will be the practice of the feast, which will be figuratively taught as the death of Jesus. That's what Paul is saying. For as often as ye eat and drink the cup, ye do preach the Lord's death till he comes. So meaning, Paul will use that as a symbol to talk about, or use that feast as a symbol to talk about what?
The gospel.
Hallelujah. Let's understand what Paul is saying. So first of all, understand what Paul is saying, we've got to do what we call contextual reading. So let's read in context. So for us to read in context, we have to go back. The background. The background of 1 Corinthians 11:26 will be 1 Corinthians 11 verse 17 into 18. Look at 1 Corinthians 11:17. That is the context. He said, now, in giving this instruction, I do not praise you, since you come together, not for the better, but for the worse. For first of all, when you come together as a church, I hear that there are divisions among you, and in part I believe it. Do you see that? So, Paul is addressing their gathering. And Paul says that their gathering wasn't for the better. That's what Paul is saying. And their gathering wasn't for the better. Paul is addressing God. He said, since you come together not for the better but for the worse. Meaning their gathering is supposed to be for the better, but their gathering was not for the better. Meaning when they gathered, they didn't gather for the right cause. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. What they did was not for the better. Hallelujah. So, meaning their gathering was supposed to be for good, but because of they had divisions among them. Look at verse 19. For there must also be factions among you, that those who are approved may be recognized among you. Look at verse 20. Therefore, when you come together in one place, it is not to eat the Lord's Supper. Observe that very well. Did you see that? When you come together to one place, it's not to eat the Lord's Supper. Now, question will now be, is the Lord's Supper the same as Passover? Question. Is the Lord's Supper the same as Passover? I have a lot to cover. Hallelujah. Is the Lord's Supper the same as Passover? For us to understand this, remember we are doing contextual reading. We're going to read the whole of chapter 10 to understand it in context. Are you ready? It's a whole lot of reading. Chapter 10 from verse 1. I'll take 1 to 17 first. We'll explain 1 to 17 and then we'll continue. Say, moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant how that our fathers were under the cloud, all passed through the sea, and were all baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat the same spiritual meat, and drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with many of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things are our examples to pose, to the intent that we should not lust after evil things, as they also lusted. Neither be ye idolaters, as were some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink, and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed, and fell in one day 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some also tempted, and they were destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur ye, as some of them murmured, and they were destroyed of the destroyer. Now all these things happened to them for examples, and we were written for admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall. They had no temptation taking you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that which you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. Wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry. I speak as to wise men. Judge ye what I say. The cup of blessing which you bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? Did you see how it flowed down here? Are you reading with me? Hallelujah. Is it not the communion of the blood of Christ?
The bread which you break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? We being many are one bread and one body. Our one bread and one body. We are all partakers of that one
bread.
So look at how it flows from verses 1 into verses 17. Now, when he writes in verse 1 and said, I will not that ye be ignorant how that our fathers under the cloud and under and not pass through the sea. When he say our fathers, what comes to mind? The Jews. So that means he's referencing the Jews audience, the Jewish audience. When you hear our fathers, he's referencing, meaning, you know, the church at Corinth has both the Jews and the Gentiles. It's a conference area, it's a commercial hall, just like Lagos and New York and some other cities in the world. Do you understand me? So you have different people from different walks of life there. Do you understand me? So in Corinth, you have different people from different walks of life there, the commercial hall in those days. So you have both the Jews and the Gentiles in the church. So now when he says our fathers, he is speaking to the Jewish audience in the church. Are you hearing me? So he's referencing the Jews. Take note of that. So when he referenced them, he spoke to them of the what? Concerning the fathers in the wilderness, right? He spoke to them concerning Israel in the wilderness. In verse 2, he says they were all baptized. That word baptized is from the Greek word baptizo. It means to be immersed, to be identified with. You understand? So when he said they were immersed, when he said they were baptized into Moses, he's speaking figuratively. It implied they were identified with Moses. Hallelujah. They were identified with Moses. Okay. Now, he uses symbols to talk about that identification with Moses. He said they were under the cloud and all passed through the sea. Hallelujah. To show that they were identified with Moses. Look at verse 3 and 4. He said all ate the same spiritual food. Now when you use the word spiritual food, when you hear the word spiritual, we're still going to do this study, something should come to your mind. That word spiritual is the word pneumaticos. Hallelujah. So when you hear the word spiritual, it has to do with, within the background of or the context of that study, you'll find the word pneuma, which is spirit, within that context of discussion. So when you hear spiritual, yeah, it means that he has been saying something concerning spiritual to them. Hallelujah. Did you get that? It was an spiritual. So if you go back to chapter 2, from verse 1, I'll just start from verse 4. And my speech and preaching were not with persuasive words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and power, that your faith will not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Verse 10. For God has revealed them to us through His Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. Hallelujah. For what man knoweth the things of a man except the man? Remember, I said you have received. Oh, okay, let's go to verse 11 into 12. Except the Spirit of man, which is even so, the things of God knows no man except the Spirit of God. Howbeit, we have received not the Spirit of this world, but the Spirit which is from God, that we might know those things and be freely given to us of God. Meaning, we have received the Spirit of God and in the new birth. Did you understand me? First of all, it tells them that their first contact with the Spirit of God is when the gospel is preached. Verse 4. Hallelujah. He said, but in the demonstration, that is the word apodexis. Hallelujah. Apodexis means to flash flaws of light on the surface. Hallelujah. Apodexis. So it says their first contact with the Spirit of God was when the gospel was preached.
Hallelujah. So when they believe it, in verse 12, he said, you've received the Spirit of God. Now look at verse 13. Say, these things we speak, not in the words into human's wisdom teaching, but with the Holy Ghost teaching, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Now he calls them spiritual. You see that before he uses the word spiritual here, he has spoken about the Spirit. Now, use the word spiritual things to refer to the information is given to them, and use the word spiritual to refer to them. Hallelujah. So, spiritual will now be the information which is the gospel, and the spiritual also refer to the man who has received the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Look at chapter 3, verse 1. I couldn't speak to you as unto spiritual people. Now, he has called them spiritual in chapter 1, verse 13. Now, he now says he couldn't speak to them as unto spiritual people, he said, but as unto carnal. As to babes in Christ. Now that word "kana" means is the word that means fat, as in it implies of the flesh. Hallelujah, hallelujah, sakinos. Hallelujah, of the flesh. So as to babes in Christ. Now when he says as to babes in Christ, he's not telling them that you see. He's not telling them that. They are babes in Christ. No. He's only telling them he's addressing their conduct. Hallelujah. Because they are spiritual. That's why I couldn't speak to you as who you are. But by conduct, you are carnal. You know what I mean? You are babes in Christ. Hallelujah. I remember that we've done this study here also. And we said there are no spiritual levels. You understand me? You grow from being in nephews to now becoming a youth. Hallelujah. We actually have that study soon. Hallelujah. Again. Hallelujah. Glory to God. There is no growth pattern. Jonathan, Paul isn't using that for a growth pattern. He says, as unto babes in Christ. Babes means nephews. In fact, that word nephews is used for innocence. We will find out that Jesus said we should be nephews when it comes to the things of the Spirit. Hallelujah. So, nephews is used both negatively and positively from the Scriptures. So, it's not a spiritual height you have attained. I could remember then we called people nephi.
Hallelujah.
Nephi. Glory to God. But we can look at someone by his attitude, by his attitude, by his conduct, and say you are in nephews. When a believer is yielding to the flesh, we can look at him and say he's not acting spiritual, he is a nephews. You know what I mean? It is not a spiritual height, but it is a function of the person's conduct. Are you hearing me? He said, we say, yours is when you are matured. Keep quiet. Hallelujah. Oh. Hallelujah.
You know, we are legal children by technology. But in that techno scripture, it is now nephews, then not heels.
Calm down. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Are you with me? So he uses that here. For he says, based on their nature, based on their ascended nature, based on their conduct, he calls them babes. How do we know that? Look at verse 3. He says, for you are still carnal, for where there is strife, envy, divisions among you, are you not carnal and behaving like men? Do you understand me? So when it comes to conduct, we should not be nephews, like we should not walk in the flesh. Hallelujah. So let's move ahead. We'll find him used it there. In chapter 3, that's in chapter 3, verses 16. Said, do you not know that you are the temple of God, that the Spirit of God dwells in you? Did you see that?
Yeah.
Now remember what he has used spirit for. He has used spirit for spiritual things, and which is a function of the word, the message, and also for what? The person who has received the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Then when he gets to chapter 10, and he now talks about this, they ate the same spiritual food. it will not be hard for you to grasp again. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Because the spiritual food
will not be manna.
Yes.
The spiritual food will not be what they ate. The spiritual food will not be what. How did he use the word spiritual? For things which is what? The word, the gospel, and for what?
The person.
So the spiritual things there will not refer to the message that they received. Are you hearing me?
Glory to God. So the word spiritual refers to things of or pertaining to the spirit. Things of or things that pertain to the spirit. So there was no physical rock following them. If you look at that chapter 10, it said they all ate spiritual, they all ate spiritual food, they all ate the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was spice. There was no physical rock following them. Rather, they had symbols of rock and water given to them to explain details to them. Right? That rock that they drank from and that water was to explain what they have already had, which is what the message that was ministered to them. Hallelujah. So it was because they rejected the message that Moses will not give them the rock and the water. Hallelujah. And Paul said that rock, the rock that followed them is Christ. Which is the message was Christ, was the message concerning Christ. Hallelujah. So Moses, because of the rejection of the gospel, Moses will not give them the rock as a symbol. And the rock is Christ. What flowed out of the rock?
The water.
What is water?
What is water of Christ? The Spirit of God. Hallelujah, right?
Water is the Spirit of God, the water of Christ. Go and get that message, the blood, the cross and the throne of Christ. Is there?
We have that. The water of Christ. The blood, throne, and the blood, cross, and throne. Hallelujah. We saw what the water of Christ is. Hallelujah. But Paul is not making reference to that physical rock here. Paul is using it. Listen, Paul wrote rock here as a symbol of the message they had. Are you hearing me? Okay. Now we proceed. So the physical rock they drank from is not spiritual, but was a symbol of what they had. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So in verse 3 and 4, look at what Paul wrote. He said they ate and they drank. Take note of those two words, ate and drink. That word eat and drink, used in scriptures, is not always used literal.
It's not always used literal.
Let's look at Genesis chapter 2. Oh, we are back to Genesis again. Genesis chapter 2. We are back to Genesis. I want to look at the truth. The day it happened. Some people are still arguing this in the body of Christ. Is it Abdullah more than they need? Some people are still arguing this in the body of Christ. Acts 2 verse 16. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you may not eat, for in the day you eat of it, you shall surely die. Now that word eat there have told us that that is Moses' way of writing. When Moses says the tree of life, the tree of knowledge of good and evil, he's not writing about any fruit in any tree. Moses is not writing about mango or apple or cherry or agbalimo. Do you understand me? No, he's not writing about that.
You have to understand how Moses writes. Now, when Moses says the tree of life, he talks about the tree that gives life. Can a tree give life?
No.
No, except you are watching African magic. Egg of life. That's when you can be misled.
Somebody say Pastor Smart has watched that movie. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Are we together?
So when Moses uses the word tree of life,
it means a tree that gives life. And we have said, when a statement becomes impossible, a figure or speech is intended. So that means when Moses says the tree gives life, in your senses, even if you did not go to school, or you went to half school, or night school, do you understand me? Eh? Or you went to a grammar school.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Maybe if you go to those kind of school, you might not understand. Hallelujah. Or you went to a school that is close to Badagry.
Hallelujah. I didn't call any school. I just said close to Badagry.
Glory to God. You might now be thinking the tree of life is a place.
Or a fruit.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. But you have to know that it was a figure of speech that Moses used. That same Moses will also use the same word, life, for the message. Hallelujah. See, I said before you, life and death. Remember, it's Moses that wrote Genesis. Are you hearing me? So he must know how Moses wrote. I said before you, life and death. Is it fruit he said before them? No. So the life and death he said before them was a message. Are you hearing me? Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. So when he said in Genesis 2:16, of every tree you eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, right? You shall not eat. For the day you eat of it, you shall surely die. So, very important. So, that word tree was used figuratively. Hallelujah. And that is used to symbolize the message. So, when you use the word eat, it implies to believe. So, eat here, E-A-T, is used for believing. And if you read chapter 3 also, from verse 1 to 2. Now the serpent, more cunning than any beast of the field, which God had made. And he said to the woman, has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree in the garden? No one will explore this sometime next day. Was it a serpent that appeared to talk? Just don't stress your head. We'll have that study next year. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And it will be in one of our understanding the gospel teaching. You know, we always have understanding the gospel teachings, right?
Yes, sir.
Uh-huh. So one of them we'll talk about it. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So just, those of you who are not in Lagos, just keep listening to messages as it comes out. I always put it on the platform. So always listen to message as it comes out. That is how one way you can get updated what is happening in Lagos. Hallelujah. Just make sure you are, don't be lazy. Just be listening to messages. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the garden, but of the tree of the knowledge in the midst of the garden, God said, you shall not eat, nor shall you touch it, lest you die. So when the word eat is employed, it is used for belief. Believe. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We have other references for Proverbs 13:2 and Proverbs 10:21. So, the word for it refers to words which are either spoken or received. That's the word it. In Matthew 20, verse 22. Matthew 20:22. Let's quickly watch there. Matthew 20:22. And Jesus answered and said, now remember, these are the two sons of Zebedee. They came with their mama, came with their mother to come and beg. Let one of my sons sit at your right, the other one at your left. And Jesus answered and said,
Do you know what you ask? Are you able to drink the cup that I am about to drink and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? And he said, I'm able. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
During the BCC, Pastor Shekou made us see the fact that that baptism he's talking about was the cross.
Hallelujah. Was the cross. Hallelujah. Glory to God. He said that the baptism which I'm baptized with, and they said to him, we are able. And he said to them, you will indeed drink my cup and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with. But to sit on my right hand, that was to sit on my right hand, on my left, is the cross. He said, you'll be baptized with the baptism. You surely must be if you are a disciple of Christ. You'll be baptized with that baptism. Hallelujah. Are you following me? You will drink of the cup. No problem. But to sit on my right hand, on my left, is not mine to give, but it is for those for whom it is prepared by my Father. So the seat at his right and on his left will be those two seats. So they say, can I sit on my right? Can I sit on my right hand? And he says, are you sure? you can hear that cross. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Okay, Jesus used the word drink. That word drink. So James and John, are you able to drink of the cup? Now that word drink is the word piro. P-I-R-O. Piro. And it is used for, is piro in the Greek. And that word is used for to receive. To receive. In verse 23, he uses what will you? Are you look at that verse? You will indeed drink of my cup and be baptized. That word "and" is the Greek word "kai." Hallelujah! It implies actually that word "and be baptized" actually does not exist in the original. Hallelujah! According to some manuscripts, some theologians. Hallelujah! But employing that word "and" implies that drinking is the baptism. Hallelujah. 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 Now Jesus used the word drink to imply to be baptized with the baptism he was to receive, which was his death. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So that word "eat" as used in 1 Corinthians. Okay, let's see one more. Acts 11. Where we read just now? Acts 11. Acts 11, are you there? Verse 3. And Peter came to Jerusalem. Those of the circumcision contended with him. Verse 2. Verse 3, saying, you went into the uncircumcised men and ate with them. Did Peter go to eat with Cornelius? He went to preach. But from the Jews, when you hear the word "eat," it means to commune, to fellowship. Do you understand me? Are you hearing me? So when that word "eat" is brought in, it shows fellowship. Are you hearing me? Fellowship, communion, to receive, to believe. Hallelujah. So let's go back to our 1 Corinthians chapter 10. So we have looked at verse 3 to verse 4, right? We are in verse 5 now. 1 Corinthians 10. We are in verse 5. It says, but with most of them God was not pleased, for their bodies were scattered in the wilderness. God wasn't pleased with them. Why was God not pleased with them? Why was God not pleased with them? Hebrews 3, verse 7 to 19. Hebrews 3, verse 7 to 19. By doing a lot of study. Hebrews 3, 7 to 19. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost said, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart, as in the provocation, in the day of temptation in the wilderness. For your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years. Wherefore I was grieved with that generation, and said, they do always err in their hearts, and they have not known my ways. So I swore by my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Take heed, brethren, lest there be any of you with an evil heart of unbelief. He uses the word unbelief. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Remember in our last study on the book on the promised land, we said the book of Hebrews addresses how many sets of personalities. What are the personalities that the book of Hebrews addressed? Who was this writing to? He said the pastors, not only pastors, it's deacons. Let me listen to people that have been sitting, that have been listening to messages, not so much from bad people. Okay. Okay.
The one that believed.
The one that did not believe. Okay. Or the Jews is persuading to believe. Okay. Was that what I said? You that you're in castle. Okay, you know what I said. Okay, hallelujah. Was that what I said? Yeah, the Jews were hardened. Hallelujah. So, meaning in his writings, you see him write to believers. You see him write to those who have heard the gospel and have not believed. So he's persuading them. And he's writing to those who have not heard, and he's teaching them the gospel so that they will believe. Do you understand me? So you see all this in the book of Hebrews. So that is why you must read systematically. Before you now jump to Hebrews chapter, I now say, the Lord is a consuming fire. I don't know where this is coming, where it's coming and where it's going. You now jump to Hebrews 11:1. And say, yeah, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the things, evidence of things not seen. That is the definition of faith. You see your life.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Me that I'm saying it to you, I know the amount of sin that has gone. So you cannot cry more than
you
believe.
But I have
to say the truth.
Hallelujah.
I said the truth and I lie not.
Hallelujah. Confession of faith, you remember that message? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Okay. Can we proceed? So we are in verse 12. Say, take it, brethren, lest there be any of you with an evil heart of unbelief. When you hear the word brethren, it's not writing to believers. Brethren is the word that dealt for us. It means brother from the same source. And they called fellow Jews are called brethren. Are you hearing me?
Aha.
You can depart. You can lose salvation. Hallelujah. See, in departing from the living God, they but exhort one another daily. Why it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. You already know the audience is talking to. Hallelujah. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence.
Hebrews.
Yes, I'm in Hebrews 3. I'm in verse 14. If we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. Why he said, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart, as in the provocation, numbers, right? For some, when they heard, did provoke, howbeit not all, that came out of Egypt by Moses, but with whom was he grieved 40 years? Was it not with them that sinned, those whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? Is this 1 Corinthians that we're reading, chapter 10, verse 5? Fell in the wilderness to whom he swore that they should not enter into his rest, but to them that believed not. So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So the word harden is the word scleruno. It is scleruno. S-K-L-E-R-U-N-O. Scleruno. It implies to be stubborn, unyielding. Look at chapter 4 of that Hebrews, from verse 1 to 4. Hebrews 4 from verse 1 to 4. Hebrews 4, 1 to 4. It said, therefore, since a promise remains of entering his rest, let us fear, lest any of you seem to have come short of it. For indeed, the gospel was preached to us as well as to them. But the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. For we who do believe do enter that rest, as he has said, as sword in my rod, they shall not enter my rest. Although the words were finished from the foundations of the world. Hallelujah. For he had spoken in a certain place of the 7 day this way, and God rested on the 7 day from all his work. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That is Genesis 2. We've done this study before, right? Genesis 2. Hallelujah. So it is that rest, that seventh day, that Moses will now give to them as a symbol for Sabbath. Hallelujah. But the seventh day is not actually a particular day.
Don't say, the reason why this day is beautiful because God made that on the seventh day. God sat down with me now. And your head will not be feeling fly. Hallelujah. That was the seventh day. On the seventh day, God rested from all his work. When you read it in Genesis 2, it's talking about the day of salvation.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He's talking about salvation. Are you following me? Hallelujah. That will be this. That will be Jesus' day. Right? That will be Jesus' day. That will be the day of the new birth. Right? Are we together? The Lord's day. So that is the Lord's day that Moses will now use and now give it to them as Sabbath, as a symbol. So Sabbath day, which now becomes a day of the week, is a symbol of what? Salvation. Are you hearing me?
Yes.
So what will they do? They will not do any work. They will only rest in the finished work of God. And what is the finished work of God? Salvation. Did you get that? That is belief. Are you following me? Glory to God. So let's proceed. So, Emma, you're going to say you go to church on Sabbath day, Saturday. Well, tell them to go and get another lunisolar calendar. Hallelujah. So, when somebody is telling you the 7 day, the Sabbath day, is it Saturday or Sunday? It is just a function of confusion. Because the seventh day in Genesis 2 is not a particular day. It's the day of the Lord. It's the Lord's day. This is Jesus' day. If you read John 14, he said, in that day, right? When in John chapter 2, in the wedding at Cana, when they came to meet him and said, there is no wine. You know, that is very true. You know, Jesus will teach in an illustrative manner. He said, there is no wine. The mother, this is not something to say, you always go and tell the mother. It's not true. Do you understand me? He said, woman, he said, my hour has not come. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Get that. My hour has not come. He's not saying, you know, Jesus recognized that word. He said, they are with no wine. The wine is finished. If you look at it, it's a literal sentence, but Jesus read it the other way because man was without wine. The new wine is the Spirit. Are you hearing me? So man was without wine. But Jesus will now respond. Now say, woman, my hour has not come. It's not hour for miracles. It's not my time for my ministry. No. That hour there is the hour of the new birth. When man will receive the new wine. Are you getting me? Are you hearing me?
Yes, sir.
So that's how Jesus will teach. So that when even when God does not want to give it to you, go and meet God's mother. God's mother, look at your life. Go and meet Mary. Mary, mother, Mary, mama, we love you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. So that day will be Christ's day. Will be Christ's hour. And that will be the resurrection. Are you following me? Glory to God. So where are we? Hebrews, right?
Yes.
Okay. So, in Hebrews 4, it says the word was preached to them and they did not receive it because of unbelief, right? Right? Okay, that was where we went down to, we saw Genesis 2. Now, they did not believe it, that would be unbelief. And where would that unbelief be found? Exodus chapter 6, verse 9. Does it mean after Exodus 6:9 the gospel was not preached to them? No. The gospel was being ministered to them often and often, but the more time the gospel was ministered to them, the more time they rejected it. Are you hearing me? Are you hearing me?
Uh-huh.
And what did we call it when we ministered or when we had that message eternity? What did we call it? There's something we call it. It's called blasphemy. When a man rejects the gospel, he blasphemes. Hallelujah. And we now look at the word that he that sinned against the Holy Ghost cannot be forgiven. You know, we did that study, right?
Uh-huh.
Glory to God. Okay. So this fact makes us see that the eat and drink was about the word spoken to them, which they did not believe, and that is concerning who? Christ, right? Right? Right?
Yeah.
Thus, the voice was by the Spirit. That is, the words. The voice or the word was the meat and the drink. I said that. That speaks of Christ. Hallelujah. So this shows that they were fed with Christ in the wilderness. Yes or yes? Yes. Hallelujah. And what were they fed with? The gospel of Christ. Glory to God.
Amen.
Glory to God. Let's move up again. So let's go back to 1 Corinthians 10.
People are tired. They be tired. It's more than that. You will say you saw vision. I saw angel standing by my side.
Hallelujah. So they did never enter into rest because of unbelief. That unbelief, is it unbelief once or consistent unbelief?
Consistent.
It has to be consistent. Hallelujah. And that is what is called the long suffering of the Lord. Are you hearing me? Hallelujah. So it's when the man dies unbelieving that he perishes. Glory to God. So if he keeps being unbelieving and he now believes a day to when he gives, leaves the earth, he's a believer. Hallelujah. And interestingly, he has the same rights and privileges as you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Look at 1 Corinthians 10 again. Then somebody now says something. No, they are Pentecostals. Pentecostals. Pentecostal mission of Nigeria. I don't have to say this. Listen, I said this to somebody that was last year. That man that has persecuted you, has done you bad, has did your name, he seized your money, seized your car there, and wants to die. Or maybe 2 days when he's to die, he now become born again. He has the same right as privileges like you. The guy got angry and said, you see that, can you now see the reason why you must pray for your enemy to die? Did you get that? The reason that they must die. And I'm not told the person. Imagine Paul died. Would you have known half of the scriptures, you know? Paul dealt with the children of Israel.
Yes,
die. He killed Stephen. He consented to Stephen's death. But you know the funny thing? It was that same Stephen, he consented to his death. That was where he heard the gospel first. Because he heard the gospel first. That was where he heard the gospel first. And then he killed Stephen. They killed him. But imagine you don't have Paul in the picture. Because you don't have Paul in the scripture. We don't have the opportunity to look. Hallelujah. Glory to God. But you know the funny thing? God wouldn't have even killed Paul. No, God doesn't do that. But you know Pentecostals.
I challenged someone one time. I said, hey, the glorious people, your enemies to die. How many of them have died? None. How many of them have died? How many human beings have you seen you pray that they die and they died? But someone one day came and made a big blunder. He made a big blunder. You know, he said, the Bible says, if three or three shall agree as concerning a thing, it shall be done for them. Do you know, as a church, we can put out an agreement that somebody will die and the person will die? That is error gone on rampage. Error gone on rampage. So that is the power of the church. That is error. Are you hearing me?
Glory to God. Hallelujah. Back to 1 Corinthians 10. So, those people have the same rights and privileges as you. They are, in fact, they are not just people. They are called brethren. They are called brothers.
Who are not part of this
country. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 10 verse 5. Say, but with most of them, God was not pleased, for their bodies were scattered, overthrown in the wilderness. That word overthrown or scattered is the word catastronomy. 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 It implies to slay, to prostrate. Hallelujah. So when he said their body was scattered, he's making reference to unbelief. Unbelief. As seen in Hebrews 3 and 4. Unbelief. And we said in unbelief, God is what? Inactive. So, we say the wrath of God is God doing nothing.
Tell us how this. You know, some people think the wrath of God is when God fire gone from heaven. No, the wrath of God is God doing nothing. He's inactive without God. A man without God is the wrath of God.
Are you hearing me? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now, in verse 6, he said, this became our examples. He hinted that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. Look at verse 11. He said, now all these things happened to them as an example, and that were written for our admonition, upon whom the end of the age has come. He said the word admonition is the word nutesi or nutesia. It implies a counsel. And that counsel is as regards what? Unbelief. Counsel as regards unbelief. You find that word nutesia in Ephesians 6 verse 4. Admonition, bringing up a child. Titus 3 verse 10. He said, look at that verse 11. He said, reason for our admonition, for our counsel. So meaning we are counseled against unbelief, right? Waiting for our counsel. Upon whom? Why are we counsel? What is the counsel here for? Unbelief, right?
Yeah.
But read verse 7 into verse 9. Is it unbelief again? Is what? Walk in the flesh. Do you understand me? So the counsel for the believer is not to walk in the flesh. To them it was unbelief, and they walked and they yielded to the flesh, right? But to us, it's for us because we believe. So it is not an admonition to us who have believed not to walk in the flesh. It says that we lost not after the things which they lusted after. Idolatry, that is it there. Are you following me?
Yes, sir.
Hallelujah. He says, upon whom the ends of the age, or the ends of the age have come. That word end is the word telos. Telos, T-E-L-E-O-S. Use of fulfillment, which the fulfillment are come. That word are come is the word katenao, meaning to arrive. Meaning the fulfillment have arrived. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So So the ends of the world have come implies that the times are being fulfilled. That is, what is given to them is now being fulfilled in us.
Hallelujah. What was given to them as a shadow is being fulfilled in us.
Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Are you following me? Are you following me? Okay. Look at verse 4. It says, therefore, my beloved, flee from idolatry. Flee from idolatry. When he uses the word idolatry, you find out what idolatry in Galatians 5 verse 19. Let's see how Paul uses the word idolatry. Galatians 5 verse 19.
Wow.
Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, various emulation, wrath, strife, sedition, heresies. So he calls idolatry the work of the flesh. Colossians chapter 3 verse 5. Say, mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth: fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil, conspicuousness, and covetousness, which is idolatry. So he calls covetousness idolatry. It calls covetousness idolatry. 1 Peter 4 verse 3. 1 Peter 4 verse 3. For the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles, when we walked in lasciviousness, lust, excess of wine, revelings, banqueting, and abominable idolatries. He uses idolatries also here as the lust of the flesh. Are you hearing me? He writes as the right cause idolatry, the lust of the flesh. Now, writing to a church in Corinth, listen to this. Idolatry is a work of the flesh, right? Lust of the flesh. Now, idolatry for the church at Corinth would go beyond another worshipping another idol. Did you get it? Idolatry will go beyond that. Because the church at Corinth, if you listen to our message on study on the book of 1 Corinth, right? We have that study. Now, we said the church at Corinth is a conference area, right? And in the church at Corinth, something is vast, they are knowledgeable. Do you understand me? Civilization is in that place. You know, people from different walks of life, it's a commercial hub. So different people came with different gods that they serve, yes, and also the civilization in that area. So one of the things you have most in that place will be what? Information, knowledge. Are you hearing me? You have knowledge. So when he says idolatry to the church at Corinth, it goes beyond an idol to what is being worshipped that is not God. Now, when commerce, when knowledge is worshipped, it is called idolatry. When you place knowledge above the word of God, it's called idolatry. So idolatry now moves, it now stretches beyond another gods, though it's inclusive, and now goes to other things that you place above the knowledge of Christ. Even your books becomes idolatry. Zeal becomes idolatry. Television becomes idolatry. You are following Arsenal. It becomes idolatry.
Hallelujah.
Chelsea skies. Chelsea blue.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. You are always on likey. You like likey more than the scriptures. Idolatry.
Are you hearing me? Are you hearing me? Are you
you are now a fan of Man United, and you are in Christ, and you are following the devil.
Hallelujah. And you are in Christ. That is unbelief. Say, I'm in Christ.
Red devils.
And you are now following red devils. What companion has light with darkness?
Hallelujah.
Glory to God. And you are now placing, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. When you are placing over 2.5 above the knowledge of God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Can we come back? So, now look at what the writer of Corinth, which is Paul, will now do. This is what Paul will do. Remember, he has just told us in verse 13, flee idolatry. Idolatry, flee idolatry. He now goes to verse 16. Because he's writing to the Jews. Listen, because he's writing to the Jews. Remember, I just explained idolatry now. If you catch what I'm saying, you now see why Paul will now write verse 16, the cup of blessing which we bless. I just did something else. I said, if you, what you esteem above the knowledge of Christ is idolatry. And I made mention of Man United. I said that for a reason. Because you cannot be in Christ and you are following the devil. You cannot be in Christ and you are keeping guns at home. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But you can be in Christ and be in the sky. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now, where I'm going to? You cannot be in Christ and I call devils, right? Now, Paul will now, because writing to the Jewish audience, he will now say something in verse 16. Look at verse 16 critically. He will now bring in what? The Passover. Did you see that? He will bring in the Passover. That's the cup of blessing which we bless. The cup of blessing is the breaker, right? Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. The cup of blessing. That should be
the third within saved.
That is salvation, right? The cup of blessing which you now, he now brings in what? Salvation. Which you bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which you break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. For though we are many, are one bread and one body, for we are all partakers of that one bread. Is it using the bread here physically or as an illustration? Is it a figure of speech? Hold it tight. Hold it what? Tight.
It's a figure of speech. Because we are reading in context.
No, don't forget we are reading in what? Context. Isn't it as a figure of speech? He said, we all being many are one bread. Do you understand it? It's figure of speech. We are many for one bread. Glory to God. So, in verse 16, when he says the cup of blessing which will bless, it's not the communion. That word communion is the word koinonia. Now, that word koinonia is used for fellowship. It's used for fellowship, sharing. So, therefore, he used physical things to talk about fellowship. Listen to this. He said, the cup of blessing which will bless, it's not the communion, which is fellowship of the. Are you following me? It's not the communion of the blood of Christ, the fellowship. Right? The fellowship. So he's not using the bread and the wine to talk about what? Fellowship. He's using physical things to explain what? That union, that fellowship. Okay, let's go one step higher. So
In verse 16, he's talking to the Jews. And he's talking to them about the Passover they are accustomed with, right? Okay. Now look at verse 17. Say, for we, though many, are one bread and one body, for we are all partakers of that one bread. And when he says, for we, but he doesn't use the word we, though many, he now brings in the Gentiles. Do you understand me? He now brings in the Gentiles. How did I know he brings in the Gentiles? Look at chapter 12. He mentions the same thing in chapter 12. Verse 12 into 13. He says, for as the body is one, and has many members, and all the members are of one body, being many are one body, so is Christ. For by one spirit, now that word by is in, for in one spirit we are all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greek. You see that? Whether slaves or free. So when he uses the word all, what? It's not possible, 7. What did you do?